Here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's up in Vancouver, Johnny? Like, at what point does some sort of shoe have to drop on somebody or something? Because it's so painful to watch. They lost again last night.
Yeah, you're right. It was painful, and something does have to happen soon. The problem is, like, the season's kind of gotten away from them, right? So I wonder if that almost alleviates the time pressure, because they're not going to make the playoffs now. So, you know, can they be more patient, which is not great for the market? That market is upset, unhappy, and they want change. And that all, that market can also, like, disengage quickly. Like, fans will stop coming to the game, and that's not good for the owner or the bottom line. So something has to give. Oh, you're exactly right. When you see JT Miller after that game, that kind of exasperated, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I can't say I know if guys are bought in. Like, the most basic question that every player, even if it's not true, would give lip service. No, we're all here. We're all committed. We're all in the program. We're all trying our best. Like, everyone says that. Always.
And you don't have to be a rocket scientist, Mike, to figure out who he's talking about. He's like, I'm watching these guys, and they're just not committed, and it's making me sick. That's basically what he was explaining to everybody.
Yeah, and the fact that he's willing to say it out loud tells you where he's at and tells you how splintered the dressing room is becoming. Because, by saying that, you are forcing everyone to have this conversation. Like, who's he talking about? What's he talking about? And then today at practice, like, we don't know what we're doing, which, you know, again, it's just frustration building up. But, you know, that looks bad on the players, looks bad on the coach, and that's where it's at. And when you see signs like this, that's when you know it's kind of gotten beyond maybe salvaging. They're not right in the right place to work out of it, and that means changes. That means trade, coach, GM, whatever. And I heard Noodles, you know, plan it. It makes a lot of sense, except while the Sedins are unquestionably qualified to do just about anything, like, they've been around the organization for a year. Like, it's a lot to be a president, like, to the ins and outs of the NHL. Like, I know Shanny came into Toronto, but he's been at the league office for, like, a decade. Like, it's no matter how smart you are, to walk right into be the president of an organization, even if you're a great player, that's a challenge. I'd be leery about them thinking they could fix it all while they're learning on the fly, but something has to give there. You could probably echo that into Montreal, but it is getting nasty in Vancouver, and that's the thought that they could wait a little longer, I think that's out the window.
Well, you know, I can think of, and it's not going to happen, but, you know, when you have that type of frustration, like, something has to happen either within the room. I'm sure they've had a few come to whatever you call it,
meetings. To Jesus meetings.
Well, yeah. And then you've also, like, do you remember St. Louis? They were such a fiasco the year that they, you know, battled back. There was a fight in practice. I think it was
Bortuzzo, Zach Sanford?
Yeah. Yeah. And went after Sanford. I'm not saying they need that, but you could tell in St. Louis, I remember things were just sideways and people were losing their mind. And it was like that fight kind of like jarred them. I'm not saying they need a fight, but they need something there to at least jar some momentum for them, because JT Miller can't come out every night and just go, yeah, you know what, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't hear from anybody else in that room. Is anybody else in that room quotable? Like, does Quinn Hughes even speak? Like, have you heard him being interviewed
once?
Yeah,
you never hear him.
For as good as he is, right? he very rarely even does it media, let alone says something of consequence. That's a good point. But, I mean, you think about St. Louis and that fight, you're right, which is probably, you know, exasperated and kind of maybe just snap out of it. But it was really Craig Berube who went in there and snapped them out of it. Because that team before the previous coach, and, you know, we love Trav, and I want Green to not have a job. You know, I think he's a good coach. But that team in St. Louis was running the coach. And Craig Berube came in and said, nope, that's not how this is happening. And that's, to me, more so than a fight. Like, that's how they were shocked back into reality when Craig Berube forced them into reality. And I don't know how they think about what's going on out there, but it doesn't seem like they're responding to anything, whether it's the coach, whether it's the pressure, whether it's to the internal strife. They're all just kind of just going out there and not figuring it out, not finding a solution. I don't want to say it's about effort. I'm always hesitant to ever say it. Like, I think everyone shows up at a game thinking, I'm going to try. Everyone's going to try their hardest, but it's not happening right now in Vancouver, and something's got to give.
No, something's very disconnected there. It's very predictable, the outcome, before the puck even drops. You just kind of know where it's going. And, you know, on the flip side of that, the Leafs really are on the other side of the spectrum, where they're playing consistently well. Like, I thought they had a great all-around effort last night, and I thought their depth was there. I mean, you look at the game sheet alone, you get goals from Kerfoot, you get goals from Engvall, you get goals from Spezza. There were a lot of different contributors last night. And we talked about the third pairing in particular in the last hour, Johnny. I think this Sandin Liljegren pairing has been pretty consistent and pretty good. I thought they were really good last night. I thought Sandin was outstanding. And I've been skeptical of Liljegren. I've been debating why it's taken him so long. And maybe they were hoping he could develop into a guy further up the lineup, and maybe it finally went off, like the bell just rang. They said, you know what he is? The third pairing guy that's very predictable, knows his role, is positionally strong. And as long as he doesn't try to chase a shadow around, you can rely on him. And that's what I saw last night, and I've seen it a fair amount. What do you make of that pairing in particular?
They've been really good. They've been really good in the role they've been asked to play. Like, I've been on the Sandin bandwagon all year. Like, he's been, you know, given what he's been asked to do, he's done his job, like the best of all the defensemen, because he's not asked to do quite as much as the guys above him. But the two of them, you know, they go on the ice, they get third pairing matchups, they get, you know, preferable zone starts. And they churn out good results. Shots, chances, goals. That's what you want. That's what you want from your third pair. And I think they like playing with each other, lefty-righty. Maybe Sandin is showing that he probably can maybe slide up a little bit further if need be, and Liljegren might not be there. And I think if Liljegren was a fourth-rounder, a third-rounder, which he's not, but if he was, you'd be like, yep, this is amazing. Like, everybody, every team loves, like, steady Eddie, solid, not too expensive, guy you can just count on, and that would be tremendously valuable. I think the fact that he's drafted so high, you're always looking like, well, is there more there? Is there more offense? Can he play higher up? And maybe he can eventually. He's probably not there just yet, but you got to love that you stumbled onto that, because those two guys, you can like lock in, like put them out there in that role, and they've won the night just about every single time they've played this year. And that's a positive, Sheldon Keefe. So it was a nice night, though. It was a night where a lot of things went well. We've talked about shooting percentages and scoring chances, and at some point they were going to go in, and they did. And that's what it looks like when things start regressing back to an appropriate level, and that's a pretty good game, a very mature game. Good for Jack Campbell getting one in L.A. I know he wasn't too happy about the result of the first time they came through Toronto this year. Great to see, you know, Wayne Simmons, my toe-drag dish, like, those guys who do a lot of good things, they need to get rewarded too, right? Like, they need to feel good about themselves by scoring goals and creating points, and a lot of guys had that last night.
Johnny, you ever had a scenario where the coach came in the locker room and said, you guys take 2 points tonight, the bird stays put on the tarmac?
Yep. We have had that. I have that. And, oh, my God, is it a good one. And, like, the silent looks around the room, because you can't celebrate while the coach says it, right? Like, you can't act like you're that excited.
Tell me the city.
Like, no,
tell
no,
me
we're
the
still
city.
Focused on the game.
Tell me the city.
We had one in Miami, one in Scottsdale, one in New York City.
Isn't it pathetic that grown men need their coach?
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Like, I can go to a bar anytime I want in any city I want, but like, it is such a bonding communal response, like across the board. Everyone gives that look like, here we go. Yeah. Like, we gotta be good. We gotta be good. So I'm hopeful that maybe they got some of that last night. But I think to make that count, you got to do it before the game. You can't do it after the game. Like, I know it's a celebratory, like, hey, yeah, we're staying over, great. But if you do it before the game, it's almost a greater test of your team. Like, how do they deal with that carrot? Do they get distracted by it? Or do they rally behind it together? So if I were a coach and I'm trying to always, like, probe my team for their reactions and their maturity and all those different things, I would want to do it before the game and see how they respond. Because if they did it last night before the game, I'm loving what I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah. It's like the cup being in the building. Out there and perform.
It is the biggest. and like, you got guys who, like, don't ever want to go out. You got guys who just want to go watch movies. It doesn't, like, there is nobody who's not fully on board and invested in a potential non-flight night.
The best.
That game becomes like a playoff game. Like, that's what it is. Like, guys, you see guys that, like, I'm not lying, because you do need carrots in November, because the season is long. So, all of a sudden, like I've been in same cities that you were talking about. We had one in Calgary, of all places, because we didn't play for 3 nights. 3 nights later in Edmonton, we all knew that Cowboys was raring to go and waiting for us. So, you know, we got guys blocking shots, and these are players that don't block shots. They accidentally on purpose would get out of the way. All of a sudden in the third, you're protecting a one goal lead and guys are blocking and the bench is roaring. And,
yep.
You know, it's November and the bench is like, you know, fire it up, because people may think, oh, these guys are really dialed in tonight. And the truth of it is that the guys want to go and have some fun afterwards, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't.
Vladislav Nagy turned into Yeri Letnin. It was unbelievable.
Exactly.
It was unbelievable in Arizona. This guy, he was like diving face first to block shots. And you're right, Neil, the bench just erupts because they know what why he's doing it. And, it's one of those beautiful little things that happens throughout a season that maybe only the team gets, but it's one of those things.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So we went around the table with some bold predictions at U.S. Thanksgiving. It's always a date that in the hockey world people reference and say, you know, if you're not in the dance by U.S. Thanksgiving, you could be in a lot of trouble. So we all had a five-pack. Let me throw a couple at you here, and you tell us, you know, where these land on the bold, you know, stratosphere for you.
Yeah.
Maybe let me throw three out here, one from each that are team related, and you tell me which one you think sticks out more. I said I believe Vegas will come back and win the Pacific. O said he believes the Islanders are done. It's over. They're not going to make the playoffs. Noodles said he believes Columbus will make the playoffs. Of those three, which one sticks out?
Well, I know which one sticks out as the most obvious is O's. Like, I know the Islanders were a sexy pick, but what's going on with them, the COVID and everything else, like, they're in tough in a really good division. They got to jump over, like, four teams. They're in tough. Columbus making it is probably the most bold, because Vegas is only what?
They're only a few points back. Yeah, three or four. Like, and the big boys are coming back.
They're going to get healthier, and we know they're committed. Like, that's not as much of a stretch. And Calgary and Edmonton have played amazing. Maybe they regress. But Columbus Noodles would be a shocking development, given that they're in the Metro, which I think top to bottom is probably the deepest, best division.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
This was a rebuilding year for them. They weren't supposed to be good this year. It was supposed to go the other way. They're supposed to kind of bottom out and kind of reset and figure out what they're doing. And yet, here they are, playing very well, 5 games over .500, 22 points. That would be shocking before the season. And even still, given Pittsburgh's right on their tail, Philly's right on their tail, two teams that are, you know, supposed to be much better than them, that would be the most shocking for sure. But good goaltending, some timely scoring, and they're doing it right now, unfortunately, without Patrick Laine, who's been hurt, and then the passing of his dad. So, you know, they're not even at full strength. But goaltending, and I guess Brad Larson's done a pretty good job there.
He has. And the other thing that, honestly, guys, and I know this is, maybe I'm just pulling for him. You know, they had the goaltender pass away this summer, Matisse. And I don't know if you saw Elvis's media, but he said, I'm going to go and win the Vezina this year. He said, and I'm going to do it for Matisse. And, it's easier said than done in anything, but this Elvis is a hell of a goaltender. They've got great goaltending there. Korpisalo, you guys saw what Korpisalo did against the Leafs in the playoffs a couple of years back. Like, they've got great goaltending. If they can just give them a chance every night, maybe they do. I that's why it's such a bold prediction.
Yep.
I don't personally believe it. I wouldn't put money on it. Mm-hmm. But if there was something that was crazy enough to happen, it could be like these goalies drag them right into it. Line A comes back. You know, you get a little bit, some of these young players step up and have.
This is it, though, right? The U.S. Thanksgiving, seasons, who's in, who's not. Columbus is the team that screams at you. You're like, look at this. Look what's going on. They're there. I didn't see them being there.
How about the flip side? My bold prediction, Boston misses because five teams from the Metro make.
Ooh. Well, they are. Yeah. The thing is, I don't see a fifth team in the Metro that I'm convinced is better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's the thing. Like, I like Carolina a lot.
Looking at Columbus,
they are,
or somebody like that.
Yeah, but that's what's going to have to be, you know?
Yeah, you're going to need Columbus to go on a tear, or Philly or something. But I just...
You're right.
It's a different team. Like, we know the goaltenders are different, although Tuca may be coming back. You know, no Krejci. They just... They're a bit older. Their best players are still really good. Top line, McAvoy, but they're, you know, Taylor Hall has his moments, but they're just not quite as good as they once were. They're playoff contenders. They don't feel necessarily like Stanley Cup contenders. So, you know, you could see a strange thing happening with them. That's why it's bold. It's unlikely, but conceivable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is, for sure. Well, Johnny, you're back, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll do this again in about 24 hours.
Sounds good, boys. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. There's Mike Johnson, our TSN.